Let us pray. We thank you, God, and our Father in heaven, for the wonderful privilege to be in your house. From the time of Sabbath school, the celebration of 13th Sabbath, Lord, with the youth leading out and giving testimonies and just singing, Lord, different pieces from Sabbath school until now. We are very thankful to you, God, for life. We've heard the reports. Some who started the week did not finish it. Some of whom are even known to people in this very congregation. Then we see in the international news, Lord, wars and rumors of wars. We see people going to their early grave, early tomb. A jet dreamliner becoming the way of destruction of 240 plus lives. Help us to be sober, to be vigilant. Help us to be surrendered to you. Help us to be watchful. Please forgive our sins. Please speak through your word. You already did when those scriptures were read for us, Lord. You already spoke to us through music, songs, the different pieces, congregational singing. You've already spoken through the Sabbath school, lesson review. And here we are, Lord, for the sermon time. Please speak from heaven. Because as your children, your servants, friends of God, we're listening. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Living in the atmosphere of heaven. Nelson, good to see you in church again. Praise God. And it's good to see each of your faces. God wants each of us here to be living, Leah, in the atmosphere of heaven. Do you know what that means? Let us look at the scripture reading once more that Ray read for us in Colossians. Let's go there and see what scripture has to say. Chapter 3, and we looked at the first 4 verses. If you then were raised with Christ, are you raised with Christ today? And you know, the only way we can raise to Christ is if we died with him. We're buried with him in baptism, like Romans tells us. We're dead to self, alive unto Christ. If you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, that's in heaven, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died. There it is. I wasn't making it up. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears. When Christ, who is your what? Life. How can Christ become our life? When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Living in the atmosphere of heaven. You know, God is eternal. He is the I am. And the term I am means that all time is alike to God. God has no past. God has no future. And the present doesn't even apply to God in the way it does to us. God transcends time. He's over and above time. That's why he told Moses, tell the people down in Egypt that the I am that I am has sent me. You know, tomorrow, Sharon marks 50 years since you and Jim are married. I'm sure you knew each other before you got married. So it's 50 plus, but the marriage itself is 50 years. And the both of you had a starting point. You know, there was one day when Jim saw Sharon and there's an extra sparkling in his eye, you know, as he saw Sharon. And then, as they say, the rest is history. 50 years tomorrow. And that's no ordinary feat, you guys. 50 years. And it's not 50 years of sour grapes. They are in love. This couple walk together every day. Man, I tell you, what a blessing. What a blessing. 50 years. So we celebrate with you, Sharon and Jim. That's a true blessing. 50 years. Now, Jim and Sharon, they had a starting point that they go back to. God has no starting point. There's no reference point for God to say, this is when it all began. No. He's the I am. So if you go back to eternity, we can't even grasp the concept. Now they mention 1,000 years. That's a wink for God. I think it's less than a wink for God. 1,000 years. All time is alike the same to God. And this is one of the differences we should come away with our belief in God. All time is alike. So telling the future is nothing for God. It's nothing extraordinary for God to tell the future. Because all time, he created time, and all time is alike to him. He is the I am. He is all powerful. And yet God is interested in us. Now, this part kind of even shift the equation some more. This all-powerful, eternal I am, he has an interest in us. And he stands ready to transform our naturally sinful lives. God stands ready to do that. God wants to make us holy. And this is how we get to enjoy living in the atmosphere of heaven when we are made holy. God is ready to make us holy if we will cooperate with him. And today I want to say this to you. It does not matter how broken you are. God can make you whole. God stands ready to make our homes a little taste of heaven on earth. But first, we must individually strive to be living in the atmosphere of heaven. Everything we do on earth, on screens, in the homes, in the workplaces, in the schools, in church, in the recreational spaces, everything we do in public or in private, we do it to the honor of God, or, I don't like to call his name, but I'm going to have to say it, to the honor of Satan. Everything we do. Therefore, be mindful to always choose God. We have diligently trained our children to put God first. Now that they are getting older, they will have to make their own choices about God. You know, now my wife and I, we recently celebrated 20 years of marriage. So we have some catching up to do, Sharon and Jim. We have some catching up, you know. And there we were. Yes, we actually did our vow renewals at the retreat down in Connecticut not too long ago. So they took those pictures of us there. 20 years and counting. Now, I want to take the time to exercise your faith. By faith, move off the earth and enter God's chosen dwelling place. That is called heaven. Envision how the Holy Spirit was there before the throne, but then he left for earth. Here, he is clothed in divine symbols. Revelation 4 verse 5, it says, and from the throne proceeded lightnings, thunderings, and voices, 7 lamps of fire. Symbol of the Holy Spirit, you guys. I'll say it right out. 7 lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God. Another way it could be translated, the sevenfold spirit of God. That's the Holy Spirit right there in symbolic language. Then Revelation 5 and verse 6. And I looked, and behold, in the midst of the throne, and I skipped some portions of the verse to go to where I want to pinpoint, 7 eyes, which are the 7 spirits of God, sent out into all the earth. Again, that sevenfold spirit, the Holy Spirit himself. Symbolic language for the Holy Spirit. There he is. First we saw him before the throne, and then we see him sent out into all the earth. Holy Spirit. Since Pentecost, in the year AD 31, the Holy Spirit has been dwelling on earth, primarily. And I put that word there. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit are all omnipresent. So that's why I say primarily. God has the ability to be on earth and be dwelling in heaven at the same time. That's God. The ability to be present everywhere is an attribute of God. Blessed assurance. And here's a secret I must tell this church. Don't give Satan too much credit. Many times we pretend like the guy is omnipresent. He's not. He can only be in one space at one time. Or one locality. True, he has many demons to help him out. But he is not omnipresent. God is omnipresent. Amen? God is omnipresent. And that's a blessed assurance. Remember now, the same time in AD 31, when the Holy Spirit came down to us, was when Jesus was enthroned as our high priest and king in heaven, after the order, of course, of Melchizedek. He had paid the price of our redemption for the human race. And Jesus was, according to Hebrews 7:27, the one who does not need daily, as those high priests, to offer up sacrifices, first for his own sins and then for the people's. For this he did once for all when he offered up himself. Amen. That's a real high priest that we need. All the priests on earth are sinful men and women like yourself and me. But Jesus, sinless. So we don't need no pope in no confessorate. We don't need no priest or no bishop or cardinal. We need to go straight up to Jesus. Amen. Amen. For this he did once for all when he offered up himself. Of course, you know you don't need a pastor to talk to God. Amen. After all, the students of the Bible. A pastor does help to give guidance in our journey to heaven. But you don't need a pastor to go to Jesus. Amen. Jesus is the pastor of our souls, the bishop of our souls. And then in Hebrews 10 and verse 10, it says, by that, that's what Jesus did, we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Christ Jesus. Once for all. There it is again, once for all. By faith, I want you to now dwell a little longer in heaven with me. Envision the movements of the Ancient of Days and the angel of the Lord, that is, God the Father and God the Son, respectively, when the 2300 days for years prophecy was fulfilled. Stay in heaven. Don't come down back to earth just yet. Stay up there. Amen. Living in the atmosphere of heaven. In Daniel chapter 8 and verse 14, and he said to me, for 2300 days, then the sanctuary shall be cleansed. In Hebrews chapter 9, 11 through 12, but Christ came as high priest of the good things to come with the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is, not of this creation. No gold and silver and heavy-duty curtain and all that stuff. No, not made with hands. That is, not of this creation. The real tabernacle, the real sanctuary, the real cathedral up there in heaven. Not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood, he entered the most holy place. There it is again, once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. Living in the atmosphere of heaven. We need to transpose and transport our minds, living in the atmosphere of heaven. We don't want to be so earthly that we are no heavenly good. Too often our focus on earth is too heavy. It's time we begin to think about heaven some more. See, some people believe that the United States was the promised land. We're finding out that it's not that way. We're watching America change right before our eyes. I want to tell people in America, begin to plan to get out of America. And that's not to get to some other country, but to get to heaven. Plan to get out, because this thing too is going to collapse. And it seems to be on fast track these days, on fast forward. This too will collapse. We need to plan to meet Jesus. Amen? Not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood, he entered. Jesus entered the most holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. We shift back to the prophet Daniel when he says, I watched till thrones were put in place. Thrones were put in place. We know there are the 24 thrones on which the elders sit, right? But we know they don't rule the earth. They don't rule the universe. God does. Daniel says, I watched till thrones were put in place, and the Ancient of Days was seated. Who is the Ancient of Days? God the Father. I like the specificity of whoever said that. God the Father. He is the Ancient of Days. It says, I watched till thrones were put in place, and the Ancient of Days was seated. His garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head was like pure wool. His throne was a fiery flame, and his throne had wheels. I'm not making it up, people. It's right there in the Bible. Do you think it's only these guys, automakers, can make mobiles? He said, God's throne had wheels. There it is in the Bible. His throne was a fiery flame. It wields a burning fire. God has a mobile throne. We'll see some more as we go. Pay attention. In verse 10, it says, a fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. A fiery stream. I mean, that thing must look beautiful. I like fireworks, you know. But God has the best kind of fireworks. There's no smelling of sulfur when his fireworks go off, right? A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. Catch this now. Heaven is a massive, massive place. 1,000,000 ministered to him. What's 1,000,000? 1,000,000. And then it says, 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. How many is that? Man, that looked like it gone into the trillion, so I won't count. I'll just say 10,000 times 10,000. Right? Stood before him. The court was seated, and the books were opened. And we did a little study on this last night at Vestal Hills for the youth Bible class. The Bible mentions three different books at least, right? In Revelation 13:8, you know about the Lamb's Book of Life, right? You go to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 3. Paul talks there again about the Book of Life. And he says the way we enter it, according to verse 3, we labor in the gospel and we are fellow workers together in Christ. Philippians 4:3. You go to Malachi 3:16, it mentions a book of remembrance. It calls it that. Book of remembrance. And it doesn't say it exactly in these words, but you go to Exodus 32 and you look at verses 31, 32, 33, and it talks there about Moses said, God, if you're not going to save these people, block me out of your book. Because a book of records is what is referred to. It's not exactly called record, but that's what. It's a keeping of records. Over there in Exodus 32, 31 through to 33. At least three books are seen in scriptures. And let me pause to ask you. It says the court was seated and the books were open. Why do you think the books were open? Come on now, somebody, talk to me. Judgment. But why books? What does God have need of books? Huh? Oh, so God is not losing his mind, his memory. So the books are really not for God. The books are for us. So if you get up there and you don't see Pastor Muir there and like, man, he was such a good smiling preacher. God said, here are the records. He was a thief, a crook. That's why he's not here. You know? So there's no doubt that God's justice is true. Because the records are there. He kept a record. So if just somehow you get there and somebody's not there that you think should be there, the records are there to back God up to show that he wasn't making the story up. Faithful records. Faithful records. See, I didn't call your name on that because I don't want anybody to go to say the pastor called them names in church, you know. I use my own name. Nobody can blame me for that. Amen. So I said the court was seated and the books were opened. The books were opened. Catch this now from our own prophet. And some people seem to be ashamed of our prophet these days. I am not. She said this in early writings, page 55, and I believe it. That's why I'm showing it to you on screen. I saw the Father rise from the throne and in a flaming chariot. And we saw that in scripture. So she's not introducing something new. She just giving reflection on it. And in a flaming chariot, go into where? The Holy of Holies. That's the most holy place of the heavenly sanctuary. I saw the Father rise from the throne and in a flaming chariot. I told you, God has heavenly mobiles. And these, you know, everybody's crazy about EV today. Those are also pollutants. Look how they produce the batteries for EV. They chop down whole forests and burn down neighborhoods to get the lithium to make those batteries. But God doesn't leave any pollution. Amen. Amen. It says, I saw the Father rise from the throne and in a flaming chariot. Heavenly chariot now. Heavenly vehicles. And in a flaming chariot, go into the Holy of Holies within the veil and sit down. Now, Daniel 7:13 follows for Jesus. I was watching in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man. Who is that? Yes, who is the Son of Man? We all, the whole world know. The Son of Man is the Son of God. His name is Jesus Christ. I was watching in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man coming with the clouds of heaven. And this is where our pioneers tripped up. Because they kind of stopped there, coming in the clouds of heaven. So they believe he was coming to earth to cleanse it with fire in 1844. But notice, the verse didn't finish there. It says, coming with the clouds of heaven. Where did he come? He came to the Ancient of Days. And they brought him near before him. So that's where he was coming in 1844, to the Ancient of Days, not to the earth. And you know, this was where the era was in those Millerites. There wasn't a Seventh-day Adventist in that group, just so you guys know. Because the Seventh-day Adventist Church wasn't formalized until May 21st, 1863. This was 1844. So these were Baptists, Presbyterians, Catholics, and whoever else church existed then. They weren't Seventh-day Adventists yet. So guess what? Put it on record that I told you this. The Seventh-day Adventist church has never set a date for the coming of Christ. Never. Oh, the house is silent. Any stones coming? The Seventh-day Adventist church has never set a date for the second coming of Christ. Amen. All right, Jim. There you go. I got a friend. I got one friend. Amen, Jim. Amen. When the date was set in 1844, the Seventh-day Adventist church did not yet emerge. The church actually emerged after the date setting. As a matter of fact, our prophetess got the call to be a prophetess after the passing of October 22, 1844. Her first vision was in December of 1844. Amen. Sister Nanny got it. Amen. So it says here, I was watching in the night visions. Daniel was called to watch by the angel Gabriel. I was watching in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man coming with the clouds of heaven. He came to the Ancient of Days. So you know there are two different people. One is the Son of Man and the other is the Ancient of Days. He came to the Ancient of Days and they brought him near before him. Back to early writings, page 55. Then Jesus rose up from the throne. We read earlier that the Ancient of Days rose up from the throne, right? Now it's Jesus' turn to rise up from the throne. Then Jesus rose up from the throne. And while the Father rode in a fiery chariot, Jesus rode in a cloudy chariot. So see, they have more than one chariot up there. Oh, Sister Nanny, she looks. So let me go back then. So I'm not making the story up. I'll show you. There it is. The Father rode in a flaming chariot. Second line. See? So I'm not making the story of people. I'm simply reporting to you what I've read. The Father rode in a... So in heaven, one brand of vehicle is flaming chariot. Amen. And then you come down here, and then there's also cloudy chariot in heaven. It's there, second line again. Then a cloudy chariot with wheels like flaming fire. So Jesus like wheels, you know. These guys with their hot rod think they have anything on Jesus. They are just imitators. Jesus has a cloudy chariot with wheels like flaming fire, surrounded by angels. You know, this chariot came up to where Jesus, he was being escorted. Heavenly Secret Service, heavenly chauffeurs, came up to where Jesus was, right? That's what it says. Then a cloudy chariot with wheels like flaming fire, surrounded by angels, came to where Jesus was. And what did Jesus do? He stepped into the chariot. See, heaven is a real place with ground you can walk and chariots you can ride in. He stepped into the chariot and was born to where? To the holiest, where the Father sat. That's the Holy of Holies, the most holy place. Man, I'm studying your faces, you know, because I told you this right in this church before, in this year too. I told you this in 2025 before. So I'm studying your faces. It's review time to see who was remembering, you know. It's review time. There I beheld Jesus, a great high priest, standing before the Father. On the hem of his garment was a bell and a pomegranate. Pomegranate, a bell and a pomegranate. You know that's taken out of Exodus. That's how the high priest's robe was designed. So when he moved about ministering in the most holy place, the people could hear his sound. So they know he's not struck down dead in there because he had some secret sin and went to minister before the Ark of the Covenant in the immediate presence of Almighty God, represented there in the most holy place. And so Jesus today, it says, on the hem of his garment was a bell and a pomegranate, a bell and a pomegranate. And I believe you and I are those bells and pomegranates. We're the ones that tell the world that Jesus is alive. Where's Sister Donna? She was telling you in Sabbath school this morning, we're not on earth just to make some money and live good. We're under our immediate family. We are here to spread the knowledge of Jesus abroad to everyone. And here, we should act as the bells and pomegranates on the hem of Christ's garment. Down here below, we should be the heralds of Christ's coming, of Christ's ministry in the heavenly sanctuary. We should be telling others. Try it someday. Just go up to somebody and say, hey, you know what Jesus is doing for you? And you see their eyes get bigger than the world. What? Who is Jesus? Oh yeah, he's your savior. The one who died for you. The one for whom the year is named 2025 and any time, any year. That one for whom time is named. He's up in heaven doing a work for you. And he promised to come back someday. Do you want to know how to get ready to meet him? And they'll give you all kind of answers. But tell them about Jesus and what he's doing. It says, there I beheld Jesus, a great high priest, standing before the throne. On the hem of his garment was a bell and a pomegranate, a bell and a pomegranate. Daniel 7:14 says, then to him, that's to Jesus, was given dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom the one which shall not be destroyed. So we see God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit all working in unison and harmony. God has done and is doing his great work to save us. Question is, will you accept Jesus as your savior and the ruler of your life? Are you living in the atmosphere of heaven? God desires to dwell in our hearts. God plans to be with us. He will never leave nor forsake us. The Holy Spirit came bringing all heaven's gifts. So today I'm saying to you, have faith in God. Love and obey God. Cultivate the awareness of God's presence and know that he is with you. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, 17 and 18. Now, the Lord is the Spirit. We don't usually refer to the Holy Spirit as Lord, but the Bible says he is. The Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. So if you think you're free in America, fall under the yoke of the Holy Spirit and you will experience real liberty. The real Liberty Bell and Liberty Hall and Statute of Liberty is not what is done there in Pennsylvania or in New York City. Jesus is our real Statute of Liberty. The Holy Spirit is the one who gives true freedom. Real liberty comes from the Holy Spirit. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. This is living in the atmosphere of heaven, being filled with the Holy Spirit. Verse 18 says, but we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. For the Holy Spirit to transform us and restore the image of God in us, there are conditions. We must surrender our will to Him. We must let the Holy Spirit carry out His born-again surgery in us. Have you heard about the born-again surgery? Any surgeon around here offering that one? The born-again surgery. We need to allow the Holy Spirit to carry out that one in us. Jesus speaks about that in that secret interview that Brother Nico snuck up to him to have, you know. He didn't want the paparazzi to catch up with him. He didn't want it over Fox News and CNN and all of those. So he came by night. Man, he told Jesus how good a guy he was, you know. That's what I was telling Jesus in the flatteries. You know, he was saying, teacher, rabbi, we know you didn't go to Harvard or any of those Ivy League schools. Your wisdom is greater than the Ivy League school's wisdom. Your wisdom is coming from above, because the things you do, no one can do it except God be with him. And man, Jesus cut right through that. He wasn't there for flatteries. He was there to help a brother be saved in the kingdom of God. Amen? And so Jesus answered, most assuredly, I say to you, none of the flatteries about how good he was, Jesus, unless one is born of the water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. What does it mean to be born of the water? To be baptized by immersion. What does it mean to be born of the Spirit? To be baptized by the Holy Spirit. And you're going to speak with new tongues. So you used to swear before you swear no more. You used to curse before you curse no more. Purity of speech. You used to share dirty jokes before you don't share dirty jokes anymore. When the Holy Spirit baptizes us, it's a transformation of life. You used to chew tobacco before you don't chew it anymore. You used to drink alcohol, you drink it no more. You used to smoke cigarettes or marijuana, you smoke no more. Because the Holy Spirit has given you the born-again experience, and you know that your body is a temple in which the Holy Spirit wants to live. And you're going to do everything to honor God with your very body. And of course, with your minds. Jesus says you must be born. Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of the water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, our literal birth into this world. And that which is born of the Spirit is spirit, our birth into the kingdom of God. And I've been laboring to tell you again and again, none of us here has any choice in being born into this world. That was between our mommy and daddy. But to be born again, to be born into the kingdom of God, no mommy and daddy can really help us. They can lay the foundation, but we must make that decision for ourselves to be born again. Incidentally, for the first 9+ months of your existence, you were living in water, surrounded by an amniotic sac. You were swimming for the first 9 months of your existence. And then, when the day of delivery came, they have a term, they say, the mother's water was broken. And so once that water is broken and you come out of that water, they say you were born into this world. Isn't it amazing that in baptism, we go down into that water and we exist down there for some moments. And then we break that water and come back out. And that's our being born of the water, we come back out. Because when we went down, we were dead to self. And we come up alive unto Christ. Trouble in the world is the born again experience is a rarity. It's a rarity. Many people may be baptized, could be in the church for days or months or years or decades, and they still were never born again. They went through the water ritual, but they didn't die to self. They came up back from the water grave of baptism, but self did not die. And that's the complication in church today. People not being born again. Jesus says, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of the water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. And that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. And we are told a solemn responsibility rests upon the men who teach God's word. They are not to try to work the Holy Spirit, but they are themselves to be worked by the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now, there are some people who think they can control. The Holy Spirit is God. Plain and simple. So we can't tell him when to make us speak in tongues and to turn off that tongues. That's foolishness. And so many churches are teaching this nonsense. And people are believing it. And if you don't talk some gibberish, there's no evidence that you have the Spirit. That's Babylon. The evidence of the Spirit is the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, against which there's no law. Galatians 5, 22, 23, 24. That's the evidence of the Spirit. The fruit, not the gifts. Because Balaam was a prophet with the true gift of prophecy. But Balaam worked for money. Peter said, Balaam, the son of Bozo, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. 2 Peter 2:15. He was killed with the edge of the sword when Joshua made their conquest. Moses sent them out. Balaam was killed, and he's a lost soul. He will perish in the fires of the last days. Balaam was a real prophet of God with a real gift. But he was out to make money and run mega church. And tell the deacons, close the door when he's going to appeal for the money. Balaam loved money. And how about us? How much do we love money? We break the Sabbath to make a few extra bucks. We can't do work for the Lord because we have to work for money. And so money become our gods. We're more concerned about retirement and all of that than about retiring in heaven when Jesus comes. Let none of us in this place be guilty of that. But may we truly give our hearts to Jesus. Amen? We are not to try to work the Holy Spirit, but we are to be worked by the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 4:30 says, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you are sealed for the day of redemption. It's the Holy Spirit that does the sealing work. Hebrews 12:14 says, pursue peace with all people, and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. And Acts 5:32 tells us, and we are his witnesses to these things. And so also is the Holy Spirit, whom a person, divine person, whom God has given to those who obey him. Holy Spirit is given to those who obey God. No obedience, no Holy Spirit. That's the Bible. We're not making this up. Do you desire to enter the kingdom of God? Then take it from Jesus. You must be born by the Holy Spirit and by being water baptized. Go on to peace and holiness. Be sealed by the Holy Spirit. By so doing, you'll be living in the atmosphere of heaven. Every problem on earth is a result of sin. And if everyone on earth would turn to God and be born again and be filled with the Holy Spirit, life on earth would be transformed into living in the atmosphere of heaven. So it doesn't matter what you go through. You could be like the Apostle Paul, sitting in prison and writing what was called the prison epistles, and could write that we sit in heavenly places. That's how God can transform a dungeon cell where Paul could be arrested and in jail and write that we sit in heavenly places from a jail cell. That's what happens when God takes over the mind. You could be in that workspace, that man, you have haters in the workspace. Daniel was there. They hated this foreigner, this immigrant. And there's a big story in the U.S. today. They hated this immigrant so much called Daniel. He was an immigrant. He was not in his own country of origin. They hated him so much they wanted to get rid of him because he had too high an office in the land. And they did everything to get rid of Daniel. Even had the king pass a law that no man should pray to any gods except praying to the king for 30 days. Because they couldn't find anything to trap Daniel except through his faithfulness to God. And they made a law to try to get him on that. That's coming, you Seventh-day Adventist. You may have sterling characters, not worthy of this world, but they'll make a law to trap you, to make you be an illegal, to make you be an alien. You see, they're using that term illegal. It's coming for you too. You'll be called an illegal because you don't observe the Sunday mandate. You'll be called an alien. You'll be an outside agitator, as they used to say in the South during the time of Jim Crow. All those negative terms, they'll call you because you won't yield to the mark of the beast, the observance of Sunday as God's Sabbath. It will come to each of us, still come knocking. At one time, they'll call you the terrorist of the state because you will not yield to a human mandate. But if you're born again, the Holy Spirit will make you live in heavenly places. Even when you're persecuted, you can say like Paul, we sit in heavenly places. You're not easily disturbed because the love of God is deep-seated in your heart. You're not easily provoked because you've been born again. And you can stand with Christ though the heavens fall. Living in the atmosphere of heaven. One day I may present part two to you. Amen. May God bless you richly as we pull to a close of our sermon time today. Jesus wants us to be saved. Jesus loves us with an everlasting love. And he did everything possible that you and I might not only celebrate 50 years of marriage, but that you and I will spend eternity with him in heaven. We pray. Our God and our Father in heaven, we are very thankful to you that we are redeemed. We have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. We thank you, Jesus, for your ultimate sacrifice that you paid for us on Calvary. For 3 days later, you rose again. And 40 days, Lord, after your crucifixion, you ascended to heaven permanently. 10 days later, Holy Spirit, you came down here on earth. 50 days after Jesus was crucified. Lord, you have been doing a special work in heaven for us since then. We know you are there, Ancient of Days, on your throne. Son of Man, we know you are there on your throne. Holy Spirit, we know you are here on earth with us. So we come now and ask you again today to perform your surgical procedure in our heart and help us to be born of the Spirit today. There may be some in our congregation, Lord, who need to be water baptized, being born of the water.
We pray that that will come in its appropriate time, Lord. But especially today we ask you for the Spirit baptism. Holy Spirit, baptize us. Transform our lives. Forgive our sins. Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And please, God, make us whole. Please touch every single person here today. Give us a fresh understanding of who you are. Give us new desires to serve you. Help us to put away the evil of our doing, the evil of our plans, the evil intentions, and that we'll surrender all to you. Oh Lord, make us whole. Give us power now to be living in the atmosphere of heaven. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.